a state, West Virginia, where Hillary Clinton won by over 40 points against Barack Obama in 2008. We have now won primaries and caucuses in 19 states.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. It is 5:10, and it is Wednesday, May 11th, 2016. Welcome to another day. Welcome to another business day. Welcome to another edition of The Opening Bell. We have lots to cover today, including how much do you think it costs to own a pet every year? We're going to talk about that and some of the new illnesses that are facing pets these days. Lots of pets suffer the same allergies we do, the same kinds of ailments we do. We'll talk to one of the area's leading veterinarians coming up about the business of pets. But first, let's get the overnight global market intel from the WGN Market Desk. Asian stocks are mainly uneven this morning as the price of oil fell. Also, new concerns about the Chinese recovery on Wall Street yesterday. Stocks surged to their biggest gain in almost 2 months. The Dow Jones Industrials climbed about 222 points. Stocks actually rose across the board. Energy stocks leading the charge as oil prices rose. Disney shares fell after hours after the company reported quarterly revenue and profit rose, but fell short of forecasts. The companies who have been beating Wall Street's estimates during this earnings season are helping investors regain confidence, according to Oppenheimer Fund's Alec Young.
There's a lot of people on the sidelines, on the fence, cautious. They're relieved that the markets have recovered from earlier in the year, but they don't really believe that it can continue.
One of the bad stories comes from Gap. Gap shares tanked for another day yesterday, one day after announcing sales dropped for the fifth straight quarter. Some analysts say the company is in big trouble. Deutsche Bank's Paul Trussell on retail earnings and sliding sales at Gap.
Gap does have very company-specific issues. We think the company's overstored. We think they're mispriced versus the peer group. At the same time, yes, we also have a little bit of a downbeat view on what's to come over the next few weeks across department store earnings as well as specialty retail.
Gap scheduled to report first quarter results May 19th. Over the past 3 months, Gap shares have fallen more than 14%. Also yesterday, Senate Republicans have announced they want to haul Facebook employees before Congress after the tech site Gizmodo reported that the social media giant allegedly squashes conservative views. South Dakota Senator John Thune commenting on the report.
If the news that's coming through there, which is represented to be objective, and it's not, then I think the people deserve the right to know that.
Senate Democratic Leader Harry Reid was quick to note the Senate's inaction on several critical issues, including President Obama's nomination of Merrick Garland to succeed the late Justice Antonin Scalia on the Supreme Court. The Guinness Book of World Records has confirmed that Scooter, a 30-year-old Siamese cat from Mansfield, Texas, is the new oldest living cat on the planet. Born in 1986, Scooter lives with its owner, Gail Floyd. He's been right by her side ever since. According to the Guinness Book of World Records, Scooter gets up at 6 o'clock. He plays around, plays with his toys, eats, and then just waits until his owner arrives home from work. So what do you think it costs to own a pet these days? Well, there's a new report from some veterinary students. This was issued last year that suggested that it costs anywhere between $2,600 and $2,800 a year for an average-sized dog, and anywhere from $10,000 or $1,000 to $1,100 a year for a cat. It is a big responsibility and is getting, it seems, more costly. This morning on The Opening Bell, we're going to be talking a little bit about the business of pets. And we welcome in on the program Dr. Mitch Robbins, who is one of the lead veterinarians at the Veterinary Specialty Center in Buffalo Grove. Good morning, Dr. Robbins.
Good morning, Steve. Thanks for having me on your show.
Glad you could be with us. So first, this cat, 30 years old. Wow, that seems like a long time for a cat. Have you seen cats that live that long?
The upper age that we typically see is 18 to 20.
Mm-hmm.
So 30 is certainly getting up there. Good job.
Well, and it sort of goes to our conversation this morning, and that is this getting a pet is not something to it's not a light duty. Sometimes pets live a long time. It's a big responsibility. Is the cost of having a pet going up?
The cost of having a pet goes up for sure, you know, and most of that comes from advanced care that we can provide. Certainly, I don't know the story of this 30-year-old cat, but certainly there are health concerns that dogs and cats have that are very similar to what we have. And as time goes by, we certainly have advances in medical care, and all that is very expensive for sure.
Well, we'd like to get into some of that as our conversation with you continues. After traffic, we'll talk a little bit about some of the ailments that face cats and dogs, allergies, asthma, other things as well. Our conversation with Dr. Mitch Robbins of the Veterinary Specialty Center in Buffalo Grove.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now. A big push for the three major stock thermometers yesterday. The Dow surged 222 points to close just below 18,000. The S&P 500 rose 26. The NASDAQ composite picked up 60 points. Oil closed $1.21 higher at $44.65 a barrel. Shares of the Walt Disney Company, the parent to ABC News, tumbled 5% yesterday. The media giant reported its second quarter earnings and revenue fell short of Wall Street estimates. Staples and Office Depot have called off their $6.3 billion merger after a judge issued an injunction based on objections from the Federal Trade Commission. A similar deal was terminated in 1996 after the FTC raised concerns about competition for office products. And Budweiser has filed for permission to rebrand itself just in time for the 4th of July as simply America. The twist, of course, is that Budweiser is now owned by a Belgian company. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
It's 521. Welcome back to The Opening Bell, the business of pets on the program today. And with us is Dr. Mitch Robbins, a veterinarian at the Vet Specialty Center in Buffalo Grove, at VSC Buffalo Grove on Twitter, vetspecialty.com. Dr. Robbins, I'm kind of, you know, as we move into allergy season for we humans, should we remember that dogs and cats have allergies too? Is this a big problem among pets?
Absolutely, Steve. Pets get the same types of allergies that we do. They get allergies to things in the environment, you know, dust and pollen and plants and whatnot. And they also have certain types of food allergies as well.
And are they generally treated the same way?
They're treated the same way. Yeah, the environmental allergies can be treated with, you know, various and sundry medications as well as allergy shots just like people get. And the food allergies typically are treated with, you know, diet changes, exclusive diets, elimination diets, and sometimes also with medications depending on what they might be allergic to.
This is a Food Allergy Awareness Month, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Is this something that pet owners just sort of find out in an emergency situation when they have a new pet and they realize, my dog is sick, very sick? Or is it something that comes on over time?
Yeah, it's typically more chronic in dogs and cats than it is in people like that have peanut allergies and whatnot. Those types of anaphylactic allergy reactions are fairly uncommon in dogs and cats. It tends to be more chronic GI signs, weight loss, a little bit of, you know, abnormal stool, vomiting, that sort of thing.
You know, over the last couple of years, we've been dealing with this canine flu in the Chicago area.
Sure.
It's also affecting cats. What are you seeing now currently, and is there concern still for the Chicago area pet owners?
Absolutely. We've reached this sort of plateau, but still higher than the rest of the country as far as the incidence of dog flu. So it's very important to see your regular veterinarian, get vaccinations, you know, sort of pay attention to the news when there's outbreaks, to stay away from dog parks and that sort of thing.
Did they ever discover where this came from? I know Chicago was sort of the, you know, the, what is it? What's the word I'm looking for? The
epicenter,
epicenter, yeah, of all of this. Did they find out where this came from?
Yeah, they believe it came from China, actually.
And so what is the treatment? Are you suggesting people get vaccinations?
Yeah, vaccinations is the prevention for sure for the flu in dogs. It tends to be fairly effective in most situations. It's a series of vaccines. And as far as treatment, it just like in people, it depends on the severity of the situation and the severity of signs, from, you know, basic supportive care like you would have if you had a cold, all the way up to progression with pneumonia that often can require extensive hospitalization.
We're looking at some of these statistics about owning pets. For some dogs, the lifetime of a dog could be $23,000. That seems kind of high, but state-of-the-art medicine like the kind that you provide at Veterinary Specialty Center is expensive. Is this something that you would suggest people buy pet insurance for?
Yes, there's a lot of, it's a really good point. There are a lot of very good things that we can do as far as care is concerned, very advanced care, very similar to what you would have with joint replacements, MRI, you know, advanced cancer care. We talked about advanced allergy care, that sort of thing. And there are quite a few very good insurance policies that can be taken out to, you know, just help defray some of the cost.
One of the other big issues facing some pet owners is cancer. Dogs and cats that get cancer, seemingly more dogs than cats that I've heard of, but yeah, it still affects both. Are you seeing a lot of those cases, and what are the advancements in those areas?
We do see. We have a very active cancer service. Our oncologists are probably one of the busiest services that we have in the hospital, and that just comes with, you know, longer life, right? Better diagnostics and living longer, and many patients will develop cancer as they get older. Many people, just like dogs and cats. As far as advances in care, you know, it's really mirrors the human field of medicine with radiation therapy and different types of chemotherapies. We have several immunotherapies that we use now. All of those branches of human oncology have really sort of flown over into the veterinary market.
I was reading recently a study that suggested or maybe hinted that dogs could, in the treatment of their cancer, help us find cure treatments for human cancer.
Absolutely, sure. Dogs and cats are great models for natural disease because their metabolism is so much faster. Their diseases progress more quickly, and we can study them a lot more efficiently.
One of the other awareness months that we're in is Arthritis Month. This affects older cats and dogs. What are the signs of this, and what can we do to alleviate some of the pain for our pets?
So very often we see signs very similar to people, right? They get up, they're tired, they're a little bit stiff, a little bit sore. Sometimes they can work their way out of it. It tends to be worse on these cool, damp, you know, fall and spring days in Chicago. And as far as what we can do to prevent it, you know, certainly good care, weight loss, keeping them in good shape, that sort of thing. And then for treatments, it really varies from, you know, holistic types of herbal treatments. There are many supplements, fish oil supplements, that sort of thing, that can be very helpful, right up to joint replacement for elbows, knees, and hips.
Pet ownership is, as study after study shows, it affects us humans in healthier and healthier ways.
Yeah.
Is this something that you would recommend to people who might be facing, you know, depression or other anxiety issues or other health problems?
It's obviously hard for me to make specific recommendations, but very often pets can be extremely useful as therapy dogs, very good companions. They listen well. They interact very nicely. And certainly not having a pet is not for everybody, but we use them quite frequently in therapy.
Dr. Mitch Robbins, one of the lead veterinarians at the Veterinary Specialty Center in Buffalo Grove, at VSC Buffalo Grove, vetspecialty.com. Dr. Robbins, thanks for being with us this morning.
From ABC News Tech Trends, I'm Alex Stone, charging your Apple Watch and iPhone together on the go or plugged in. If you own an Apple Watch, you're likely doing a lot of charging between it and your iPhone, says Brian Stetch, Executive Vice President of Sales and Marketing at Zag, a company known for its cases and covers for devices.
If you have an Apple Watch, you have an iPhone because they work together.
Now Zag has developed a dock that can charge your watch and phone simultaneously.
It's a dual dock that it charges your Apple Watch. And it actually has a cable that will charge your iPhone.
It's got a pop-up base in it to charge the Apple Watch. Inside, there's an area to keep an iPhone charging cable wound up, and it can be its own power source.
It's also got a 5,000 milliamp battery inside of it, so when I'm traveling, just throw my stuff and put it on my nightstand in my hotel room.
With that battery, you can charge up the iPhone and watch on the go. The price of the Zag mobile charging station is $80. With Tech Trends, I'm Alex Stone, ABC News.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
It's 5:38. Welcome back to The Opening Bell. Job growth might be slowing overall, but it is surging for new college grads. As a matter of fact, some economists say this might be the best time to be graduating in a decade. While the overall unemployment rate's holding steady at 5% last month, the Labor Department says the rate is only about half that for college graduates. And the newest grads, the ones getting diplomas this month, are particularly attractive to employers, according to the National Association of Colleges and Employers. James Vase is director of permanent placement services with Robert Half in Chicago. Robert Half is one of the world's first and largest specialized staffing firms. James, welcome to the Opening Bell.
I appreciate it, Steve. Thanks for having me on.
Well, it certainly sounds like this is a tree ripe for the picking for new college grads.
Yeah, it certainly is. The landscape for 2016 college grads is quite strong. So, you know, we'd love to provide any additional help in, you know, college grads and how we can best position them for really kind of, you know, jumping on that opportunity.
So what is the first thing, let's say somebody is graduating from college this month, that they need to be doing or should have already been doing if they're looking for a new job?
Well, there are several. You know, I think utilizing the, you know, the internal university career center is key. You know, we're at that point where, you know, we need to be quite involved and we're getting up to graduation time. So, you know, using that career center to provide networking opportunities is ideal. On the other side of that, you know, the personal network is, you know, and professional network is also just as important. You know, personally for me, my first college internship was secured through professional networking, and that is something that we're seeing still as very prevalent in what's positioning these new grads for obtaining their first opportunities.
This is a tough road for many grads. They have lots of hard decisions to make. Are there wrong decisions and bad decisions and good decisions? And how can you guide our grads in the right direction?
Well, sure. I think they're, in any job search, you know, there are a lot of gray areas. You know, as much as we'd like them to be very black and white with decisions, there's a lot of gray. And this is not just for new grads. But these are new situations for new grads. So, you know, as far as if they're right or wrong decisions, I think there are some that can either tip your career progression one direction or the other. So there are some absolute do's and don'ts with some of these situations in a first-time job search.
And Robert Half has created a list of some of these situations and your advice to grads in these situations. I wonder if we might go through a couple of these. Let's say a grad has two job offers. Neither of them is their dream job. How do they decide between the two?
Well, really, it's, you know, and I wonder if there is that perfect job out there, and that is, you know, really how the new grads need to look at this. You know, specifically if they have two, you know, offers and comparing between the two, you know, it's really determining which is going to be the first solid step for career progression. You know, how well do you connect with, you know, the direct hiring manager and prospective boss? You know, how stable is both the company and the industry that you're considering between the two? And, you know, from there, I think it's more about opportunity versus simply compensation. And that's really how we should be looking at it when we're comparing two opportunities.
With a lot of these jobs available out there, a lot of employers hiring, is it a situation where new grads can negotiate salary, negotiate job title, negotiate work rules, work conditions?
You know, it's a market where that is much more prevalent. You know, what I would say is it's appropriate to negotiate, but really we need to be doing our homework and understanding, you know, the data before doing so. And really the reason that I say that is so we can understand where we're at in compensation compared to our peers. You know, also, you know, there are some large training programs that these companies offer where those are non-negotiable. So, you know, we just need to make sure we're really digging into both the data, the industry research and company research before we do negotiate. But it is absolutely appropriate to negotiate in these situations.
Even for non-college grad job seekers, this is one area where the experts say we generally fail, and that is negotiating for salary and perks, and sure. Because most employers are willing to talk about this. Are there any numbers about this where college grads are concerned?
You know, specific to negotiation, you know, in the first job search, I don't believe that there'd be the most prevalent data out there that's still being compiled. I think it's more, you know, honestly, you know, what we're seeing out there is a major counteroffers for those who are not in that new grad space. You know, we're seeing 80% counteroffers that are being put out there for those who are leaving opportunities. And those who actually do stay, you know, within that company that they received the counteroffer, about 85% of those individuals are no longer there after about 6 months. So the data is a little bit more towards those who are employed moving from job to job, in which case that negotiation, you know, can go positively or negatively. And, you know, we're seeing a lot of counteroffers out there in the market at the moment.
And so what if there's a situation where a grad-to-be or a current grad hasn't found a full-time job yet? Should they take a temporary job or maybe an internship of some sort?
Oh, absolutely. That is 100% the ideal route if you don't have that full-time job secured yet. You know, really, when you're doing something temporary, that both provides work history, which we want to make sure we're updating our resume and LinkedIn profile for, but it also allows, you know, that opportunity to potentially go full-time. And on the other side, provide networking opportunities from that current company. And guess what? You know, it's a temporary opportunity. You can continue to search for that full-time opportunity even while you're doing temporary work.
Our conversation this morning with James Vase, the Director of Permanent Placement Services with Robert Half in Chicago, a specialized staffing firm.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
5:48, the futures pointing toward a lower open on Wall Street later this morning. Dow futures off 54, NASDAQ and S&P futures lower as well. Let's get the latest on commodities this morning. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Steve, good morning, and what a day yesterday in the grain market at the Board of Trade, particularly in soybeans. We saw soybeans climb 5% in value to their highest level in 18 months yesterday. Several of the soybean contracts hit the 65-cent daily limit, and four of the soybean meal contracts settled up their daily limit. So after the close, the CBOT expanded its daily trading limits for soy meal, soybeans, and soy oil futures for today. The numbers at the Board of Trade, well, May soybeans ended up 57.5 cents a bushel, 1076. May corn up 10.5 at 378.5. And May wheat up 6 cents at 451.5. Quite a day in the bean market. And in livestock trade yesterday, lean hogs gained the most in a week, while cattle futures ended the day higher, barely, for the eighth straight session, each commodity rising in tandem with wholesale meat prices on signs of growing demand, as maybe we will get to the outdoor grilling season. The increase in cattle, not great. 15 cents higher with the June contract at 123.45. The May hog contract ended with a gain of 60 cents at 76.70. And just a reminder, 1 month from today, the 2016 World Pork Expo will open at the Iowa State Fairgrounds in Des Moines. Have a good day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. 5:50, back with our conversation on the Opening Bell this morning about the job prospects for new college grads. It is the best, according to some experts, in a decade. James Vase is the Director of Permanent Placement Services with Robert Half in Chicago, a placement firm and staffing firm. And James, I'm curious, after landing a first job for one of these new college grads, how long do they stay in a position, in a first position, and are there any situations where they might bail quickly on a new job?
Well, sure. I think the average for the first, you know, job post-college is between 1 and 2 years, which is quite different landscape from, you know, a decade ago or so. And there are absolute situations where, you know, new grads will accept an opportunity and start to have, you know, hesitations. You know, I think what really makes sense is to really dig into what's making you unhappy in these situations. You know, is the role different than was actually described? Is it just overwhelming because it's a new change? You know, a new job is an adjustment. So I think the ideal, you know, suggestion here is to be patient, you know, be a team player, because it's really important for your first job, you know, to get a great reference. You know, what we'd like to do is, you know, continue to ask for feedback in these jobs. You can continue to grow your network in your first opportunity, and really sticking yourself out there, being a team player and volunteering for new projects, will really kind of get you outside of your comfort zone. If you're feeling that that first role is maybe not the, the ideal career path for you.
And this all goes to sort of striking that balance, too. It's an area where new college grads, new into the workforce, sometimes fail, and that is they don't they neglect parts of their life like family and life and friends and that sort of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. The new statistics for Generation Z that Robert Half did somewhat recently is, you know, the number one priority for Generation Z, for new grads, actually, is work-life balance, as opposed to higher salaries, actually. So, you know, things are a little bit different, you know, in this landscape. So finding that balance, of course, between finding the right career trajectory that makes you happy and provides that work-life balance is difficult to find, but we're seeing that shift from Generation Z out there.
In that selfie generation, too, another important key thing is managing reputation. How often is it that you see this come up where the reputation problem crops up after a bad post on Instagram or one of the other social media sites?
Extremely often. You know, that is probably my number one suggestion for new grads is clean up the social media content. You know, any new prospective hiring manager, employer, first place they're looking is for social media. So that is something new to the industry, something new to hiring. But that is probably the most prevalent that we see in issues with hiring new grads, and not just new grads. You know, this is for all the above. But, of course, yes, the selfie generation, as you call it, you know, a lot more prevalent there. So that would be my number one suggestion on potentially positioning yourself to secure that first role.
Is the role of professional mentor, is that a new thing with recent college grads these days? Somebody who helps guide them, is there for advice?
You know, it's becoming more prevalent. Only about 26% of individuals have a professional mentor, but 86% of CFOs say a professional mentor for that matter is extremely important. So, yeah, I think the question is how to find that professional mentor, and that's where I think we're seeing a big uptick is the career centers internally at these colleges and universities are really stepping up their programs to provide these professional mentors. I think it's just on the front of people's minds now that networking both online and offline is how it's going to best position yourself for your career by having that professional mentor.
And this next thing may be an offshoot of the boon for college grads with jobs. Lots of jobs to fill for some of these employers. Group interviews. Is this a new thing where, you know, groups of employee applicants are interviewed together? And what advice would you have for those?
You know, we do see that as a very first initial step in hiring. You know, typically that could be a situation where that's going to be on-site at university, perhaps through the Career Center. You know, once we get further into that interview process, it gets away from that group interview. But something we're seeing quite a bit more of. So what we want to do is, you know, best position ourselves to stand out. You know, and it's not dressing flashy, of course, by any means. It's being professional, being courteous. Listening before answering is extremely important, but really standing out from putting accomplishments on your resume, you know, being involved with professional organizations, and really doing your homework on these interviews. I think a lot of times new grads do some very surface-level research on companies that can just be found on websites as opposed to digging into some other aspects. You know, on LinkedIn about their potential hiring manager. So the most research we can do and best position ourselves there will allow us to stand out in any group interview situation.
And what services would one of these college grads find if they came to Robert Half for help?
Basically, we're great consultants. You know, we take off, especially for the new grad, you know, take off that recruiting hat and really just position ourselves to be a resource. You know, we can provide both industry information, career progression information. You know, we have different specialties in different groups, you know, information technology, finance and accounting, the creative group, legal help. So you name it, we actually have consultants in each area that can absolutely help new grads with advice, even provide a professional, you know, advice as far as networking, and even potentially be that professional mentor if they're looking for one.
James Vays, Director of Permanent Placement Services with Robert Half in Chicago. James, good information this morning. Thanks for being with us on the Opening Bell.
Yeah, appreciate it, Steve. Anytime.
All right. You can find Robert Half, roberthalf.com, for more information. They have lots more details about all of the things that we've been talking about here today. Again, roberthalf.com.